At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is VSiN Tonight in for Matt Reynolds. How about Matt Eumanns instead of Wes Reynolds? In with Wes Reynolds, out is Matt Eumanns. I am Dave Ross in tonight. Wes, always good to be with you, my friend. I do want to get to what's going on right now. We got a lot of things to catch up on here in the first hour of VSiN Tonight. And the return of Kawhi. And right now, Mavs kind of drawing a line in the sand. 31-24 as they've just begun play here in the second quarter. And I kind of feel like we're getting closer in some of these series. Like, when are these stars going to get back into play? We saw what Indiana was able to do tonight in Milwaukee without Giannis. That series is now even at one game apiece. And maybe the surprise so far, I don't know how big of a surprise it is to you. Minnesota up 2-0 right now on Phoenix and kind of thoroughly done, at least defensively, in the first two games, keeping Phoenix in the low 30s. So we're seeing the return of some stars like Kawhi. We're awaiting the return of another big star in Giannis. And meanwhile, some of these bigger stars, KDs, Books, LeBrons, ADs, find themselves in 0-2 holes. It feels like the playoffs are starting to take hold.
Yeah, look, Phoenix, I think for the second game in a row, got out toughed. And you know, more physical team won, and that's the Minnesota Timberwolves. And defensively, look, they made the adjustment. And in game one, when Chris Finch, the T-Wolves head coach, goes ahead and puts McDaniels on Devin Booker. Devin Booker, not a bad game tonight, but 20 points. You need more. You need more out of Devin Booker. Because they're fine giving KD like the mid-range, and KD 6 of 15, only 18 points tonight. Grayson Allen, of course, went out with the injury, but the Suns just really struggling in terms of the depth. And you know, Minnesota balanced scoring. Ant-Man actually only shot 3 of 12 tonight and scored 15 points, and they still win by double digits because you get 12 from Towns, you get 18 and 9 from Rudy, you get 18 from Mike Conley Jr. You usually don't get that much scoring from Mike, and then 25 from Jaden McDaniels tonight, and then Alexander Walker off the bench. They just have so many different defenders that they can throw at guys. You can not only throw McDaniels. We know Rudy Gobert going to win Defensive Player of the Year more than likely. Ant-Man's a good defender. Nikhil Alexander-Walker's a good defender. Naz Reid's a good defender. So you could put so many guys out there defensively, and Phoenix just hasn't had the answer.
Well, when you mentioned that Mike Conley gets you 18, Rudy Gobert gets you 18, and D-Book and KD get you 20 and 18, Minnesota sweeps that series. Like, there's just no way that if you're only getting 38 combined out of KD and Book, and they're getting all five starters in double digits for Minnesota. Very balanced attack, as you mentioned, even with Ant being held. And Anthony Edwards said after the game, I told my teammates, y'all gonna win the game tonight for me. They doubled him, got the ball out of his hands. When you see that, I go, well, the only thing that can really change when this goes back to the Valley of the Sun is the stars of stars for Phoenix have got to double the output that they've been given in the first two.
Yeah, no question about it. And Minnesota commanding a series lead. Look, and the market came against them in the series. Mm. They were the underdogs. And because Minnesota was in contention for that one seed, and then they slipped to the three, and it's like, okay, you know, has maybe this team played above their skis in the regular season? And certainly not. They still have very good basketball left to play and have done so the first two games. 105-93, favorite and under, get there tonight.
I'm intrigued by Indiana and what they were able to do today. And obviously an easy victory, at least in the second half. They really pulled away from Milwaukee. And Dame was Dame in the first half again, gave him 26. But in the second half, Indiana really got their scoring, which we're kind of accustomed to seeing. And without Giannis, I wonder if you were Milwaukee and you're Doc Rivers, you're going, let's see how long we can go without Giannis. And I'm not saying that he could have been ready, but you know, when you win game one, it buys you a little bit more time if you're the Bucks. Do you think in their heart of hearts, Milwaukee's like, no, this is cool. Now we got the split that we kind of wanted without Giannis. And now when you go back to Indiana, even though it's 1-1, it's almost like Milwaukee feels okay about the split.
I think probably so. I think what they realize is obviously without Giannis, they have no answer for Pascal Siakam, who had 37 points, 11 rebounds tonight to lead the Pacers. Pat Beverley's done a really nice job on Halliburton, and Halliburton the second half of the season, or I shouldn't say second half, post-All-Star break, it seems like he's lost confidence in a shot and just has not been the same player he was early in the season, because he torched this team early in the season on several different occasions. But nevertheless, balance from the Pacers tonight. Miles Turner with 22, all five starters easily in double figures. So 125 to 108. Dame, look, was good again, but you got to get a little bit of help. Did not get as much tonight. Pacers, very good second half as they put it away. So they go back to Indianapolis at Gainbridge Fieldhouse 1-1. And I like the Pacers tonight. I thought that this was going to be a rebound. I thought in the first game on Sunday, they kind of played scared.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, okay, you know, maybe, you know, we've beaten this team four or five times and they don't have their best player. Well, Milwaukee played like they didn't have their best player in terms of the fact that, like, we got to step up in game one, and they did. And I thought they out-toughed the Pacers. I thought the Pacers played a little scared. I thought that they were much more into the game tonight. And look, they shot so poorly in game one. I think they missed their first nine threes. They came out and made some tonight. And sometimes that's all it takes. It's like, you know, and if you're a player as an individual, you see the first one or maybe the first two go in, all of a sudden you're more engaged defensively and you're more engaged in really the whole game in all facets. So that's what you saw with the Pacers tonight.
Game three would be Friday night back in Indiana. And right now, Pacers are favored by four with a total of 224.5. Now that line would indicate to me that we're not anticipating Giannis to be back yet for game three. Because I have to think, if Giannis, and again, this is the guessing game you're trying to play in beating the market and the information, and try to stay on it best you can, because you remember Doc Rivers had even said, oh, we're not ruling him out for game one. He hasn't played the first two, right? So you got to get to Friday night. But if he does, if we get the memo that Giannis is going to go, this number is going to go to what? Pick him? Milwaukee turns to a small fave?
Well, it's four right now. Probably goes to like Pacers minus 1.5.
Okay.
Maybe minus one. So, you know, Pacers going back home, I think at least you have a little bit of confidence now, because they were a little shell-shocked in game number one and then came out, obviously, much more aggressive tonight with a lot more energy, and that sustained for all four quarters.
Yeah, so that'll be fascinating to see where those numbers go, but those are early right now, right after game two. Pacers 4-point favorites, 224.5. We mentioned Phoenix going back home. That's the second game Friday night. Phoenix right now, 3.5-point favorites against the T-Wolves in the Valley of the Sun in game three. By the way, both games have stayed under the total in Minnesota with that really good defense. The Suns not, what, 94 and 93 points in the first couple games here. So really low-scoring efforts from Phoenix. Total there is 208.5 that we'll see for game threes once they switch venues.
Yeah, this has already dropped, at least from game number one, several points. So, you know, you got to overcompensate for it. We'll see if that goes ahead and, you know, reverses the opposite way. We certainly saw that a little bit with Pacers-Bucks tonight. 233 goes easily over the total of 223.
we mentioned like this kind of waiting game, like Milwaukee's playing it now with Giannis. And, you know, basically if you're trying to get ahead of the numbers, you better really stick to those beat reporters. Because you saw it start to come out today, a couple hours before game time, about Kawhi. I was like, oh, you know, he practiced. Oh, he's there, shoot around. And you start to pick up and read between the lines a little bit, and lo and behold, game time decision, Kawhi does go. Right now in the second quarter, 5:49 to go in the second quarter. Mavs up 7, 37-30. The live total has dropped now to 200.5. Mavs are still 4.5-point favorites. Well, this is odd because you play without Kawhi in game one and you run roughshod over the Mavs. Now you have Kawhi in game two, and albeit still early with five minutes to go, you're down 7.
Still tough sledding a little bit for Dallas, though, because that's what really happened in game number one. The Mavs were 9 of 41 from the floor in the first half, 22% on Sunday. 2 of 18 from 3, missed their last 12 shots going into the half, and that's how you get an 8-point second quarter and a 30-point first half. So, you know, obviously a little bit better tonight. You only had room for improvement based on what we saw on Sunday, but still the Mavs, you know, not really scoring a lot of points here tonight, even though they have more than the Clippers, 37-30. And right now, 200.5, the adjusted total, Mavs minus 4.5 on the in play. This total was 216.5 at the close.
By the way, we've got a great lineup on the docket today. Our number one, Munaf Manji, is going to join us again from the NBA Gambling Podcast. Talk all about this. Chuck Esposito at the Red Rock, of course, the sportsbook director there. We'll get the other side of the aisle from him, from Chuck. And then we're going to have Ian McMillan join us in hour number three as well. And, you know, Ian's a big hockey guy with Toronto, too, so we'll get his thoughts with the Maple Leaf getting that big win in game two. But very quickly, before we get a break, one series that has been repriced now that it's 0-2 is the Minnesota-Phoenix series. Minnesota is now, as you mentioned, Phoenix had become the favorite before the series began. Now you're going back to Phoenix, and in an 0-2 hole, the Suns find themselves at plus 310 on the series line, and Minnesota now minus 370. There's that old adage that really a series doesn't start until a visiting team wins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's any value in that number for the Suns at plus 310?
I'm not sure based on what I've seen for the first two games.
Right.
And you never want to be a prisoner of what you saw last, but they've been more physical twice. And I just don't know. Like, Phoenix, I think, is going to at least win a game at home, but they got to shoot like really, really well from the outside, because you're not getting anything at the rim on Rudy and Jaden McDaniels and those guys. And Phoenix tonight just did not shoot well enough. I think 8 of 22 from the 3, 35 of 78 overall. That's just not going to get it done with as good of a defensive team as Minnesota is.
Great point, because Brad Beal is supposed to be the big three. He would be the third. He was 6 of 17 for 14 points. So it's almost like, I always feel like people kind of goof on Rudy Gobert as, you know, Defensive Player of the Year. That defense has been rock solid in the first two games against
Absolutely,
Phoenix.
And they play very well as a team, and everybody's buying into what Chris Finch is selling.
Absolutely. More on the NBA playoffs and the second season in the NHL. Come on back, just getting it started here on VSiN Tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue VSiN Tonight. I am Dave Ross, in for Matt Eumanns alongside Wes Reynolds, and our producer extraordinaire Brian Ortega in the break just throws out these questions. We have 4 minutes to take away the curtain here. Mm-hmm. In between segments, we're getting ready to talk some NHL and more. Just throws on us, who's the greatest American musician of all time? I mean, if it's 4 minutes, does that suffice to come up with the proper answer?
It's a little difficult.
I mean,
it's a little difficult.
You throw those things out, and then it's like, then your head starts, the wheels start turning in your brain, and you're like, you go with.
Because are we talking musician? Are we talking singer? Are we talking songwriter, performer? But overall, I go with the Godfather. I go with James Brown.
It's hard to beat.
There's still several others you can
consider. Thinking Michael Jackson.
Would be considered.
Dilla.
Michael Jackson, Prince, Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix is amazing.
Some will say Springsteen.
Yeah, I like the Boss. And this is going to get, I know, don't at me. I like the Boss, and I've got friends that have literally toured the country for him for decades. Not years, decades.
Mm-hmm.
They followed him around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do you not have a life? Like, that's what they do.
I know.
They just follow this guy around. And I'm like, I like the guy of the E Street Band that's in Sopranos.
Stevie Van Zandt.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, look, I like them too, but you know who are the biggest fans of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band? Sports writers.
They love them.
Sports writers and media people love Springsteen and the E Street Band.
I will say he's in great shape for being, he's got to be 1,000 years old.
He is.
And he looks fantastic.
Tanned and ready to go, man.
As a fellow centenarian, I'm getting close. He looks really good. So, Bruce, keep doing your thing. And if you want to chime in, let us know. You can add us at D Ross Sports, at Wes Reynolds 1, at Brian Ortega. Is it just Brian Ortega? Brian Ortega LV. Get the LV in there, too. He posed the question. Let us know what you think. Who's the greatest American musician? And that can encompass so many different things. We're trying to figure out who the best, greatest hockey team will be this year. And by the way, great start for the reigning defendings right here in town last night in Dallas in game one. Three first period goals against Dallas. They hold on to get the 4-3 win last night. And what's interesting there is, you know, VGK goes into this thing kind of the underdog. I think we just kind of discount repeating as champions because outside of Kansas City doing it last year in the NFL,
yeah. It
doesn't seem to happen a whole lot, right? Are we looking at Vegas and say maybe they've been underrated a little bit this whole regular season because it's not the same dominant performance they had a year ago? And lo and behold, they're up 1-0 and feeling pretty good about
themselves.
Well,
they are a little bit healthier now, of course, getting Stone back. And they had some injuries in the second half of the season. But if you look at game one last night, I hesitate to say that a team is lucky when they never trailed in the game, the Vegas Golden Knights, but they kind of were. They got outplayed. They only had 15 shots on goal in three periods, 11 through two periods. That was the lower in any game they had in the regular season to have that few shots on goal, but put a couple power plays by Jake Ottinger, the Dallas goaltender, and that was all that she wrote, and we're able to hold on 4-3. Dallas getting bet in the overnight. This has been a big move on Dallas. Wow. I think this is the right move for tomorrow.
And that will be game two right now. Dallas is -$1.70 against VGK. Comeback here is +$1.42 in the Golden Knights. If you want to go on the puck line here, Dallas is +$1.60. If they can win by two or more goals. Other action in the NHL, and I don't want to say that these series are over before they ever begin, certainly in the Eastern Conference, but my Capitals, my DC brethren up there, not looking good. 4-3, tough
loser.
They're
overmatched.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like it, right? Kind of the feel-good story to get in is the 8 seed, but the Blue Shirts, maybe this is exactly what they need if they're going to make a deep run here as the 1 seed in the East. 4-3 wins, their winner tonight. They're now up 2-0, and the Panthers in overtime get by Tampa to take a 2-0 lead in that series. Caps pretty much no lifey when they go back to DC to rock the red, but the Lightning, they got to at least, even though you lose in overtime,
yeah. Maybe
there's more life in that series.
There probably is. Lightning, by the way, they tie it. They get down to nothing and then get it to overtime, give up the early game-winning goal, so 3-2. Look, Panthers are the better team. Remember, Panthers, they were the team that upset the Boston Bruins as a wild card in the first round, ran it all the way to the Stanley Cup final before bowing to our Vegas Golden Knights out here. But Panthers are the better team, but I think the Lightning, you never in that, that's a big rivalry, and you never necessarily count the Lightning out 2-0 as long as you've got Steven Stamkos and as long as you've got Kucherov and those guys, you're always live. But I do think the Panthers are the rightful favorite. They were before the series, and they are the better team here.
I know a lot of people subscribe to the zigzag theory, certainly when you get to the second seasons in the NBA and the NHL. But when you look at the numbers for Thursday night's Game 3 down in Tampa, and it'll be wild in that arena in Game 3 because they still love their hockey down there. But it's even money. It's minus $1.10 either way. And by the way, the Panthers on the puck line, minus a goal and a half, they are plus +220. So it's not right now. That's looked at as a toss-up. Meanwhile, as you mentioned on Friday night, Caps big home underdogs, even though they're down 0-2, plus $1.50. Rangers minus $1.80 on the road. So that shows that maybe the zigzag theory there might not hold.
Two of those series in the Eastern Conference, I think Caps, Rangers, and also Islanders and Hurricanes look like potential sweeps here because we saw Carolina get the win last night. They were down 3-0.
Man.
And they end up winning 5-3 over the Islanders. And look, Patrick Waugh's done a really great job of, you know, getting that team in the playoffs. They're still a defensive-oriented team. He gave them a little bit of life offensively. But I just don't think the Islanders have enough firepower to keep up with the Hurricanes.
And to that point, for Game 3 on Long Island, the Islanders are home dogs, plus $1.36. Carolina, minus $1.62 on the road for that Game 3. And the Hurricanes on the puck line there, plus $1.64 if you want to lay the goal and a half. So kind of with you, kind of feel like, boy, Islanders played so well and have nothing to show for it in the first two games. So can you really play that well? Because they're going to have to do it for 60 minutes and maybe beyond to try to get a win. But the numbers reflecting what Wes is putting down, that maybe we're looking at sweeps there for the Rangers and for the Hurricanes as they begin those series on the road.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe a way to play this, if you like the Islanders, look, it's a discount, obviously, from the full game for good reason. Because we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show about the NBA. When you go down 2-0 and you go to home, you often see it taxed, especially in the first quarter and in the first half. That team that's down 2-0 going home, they got a good sense of urgency. Maybe the same thing for the Islanders here, because look, you're seeing like plus +115, plus +120 just for the first period. And it's always less in the first period than it is in full game. And then seeing them get as close to like $1.45 on Thursday. So I could certainly sponsor, you know, when a team's down 2-0, kind of at least trying to look at that first period there and taking the money line. And you'll see that in the NBA now where it is very much taxed in the price. Like, you're not really fooling anybody necessarily when you do this. Because, like, for example, let's look at Cleveland-Orlando. Orlando is minus -1.5 and minus -2 for the game. They're minus -1.5 for the first quarter, and they're also minus -2, and I thought I saw a rogue 2.5 out there for the first half.
Wow.
So that angle, which used to be so profitable, that now gets taxed in the number. You're not fooling anybody with that anymore.
No, the books have certainly wised up through the years on that play for sure. By the way, game one between Winnipeg and Colorado was wild. 7-6 win for Winnipeg. They've just gone to the second intermission. It was 1-0 Winnipeg after one. Bang, 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 bang. Four goals by Colorado. Defense be damned in this series. 4-2 now in the second intermission there. One other game going on right now, Nashville with a 1-0 lead right now on Vancouver. That one also right now in the second period, about 13 minutes and change to go there.
The latter, there was a lot of move on Nashville, not just on the zigzag or the bounce back, because Thatcher Demko not in goal tonight for Vancouver. I did not bet that one. I do have the other one. I do have Colorado pending here, because Colorado, we know that game, you explained how wild it was, ended up being 7-6. But I thought Colorado, when you really looked at that game, and sometimes you got to go deeper than the final score, they doubled up Winnipeg in shots. 46-23, controlled about 69% of the expected goals at the 5-on-5, 2-of-2 on the power play. You know, they went Georgiev in goal because their normal goalie, Antonin, is still sick. So Georgiev going again tonight, made another call-up, I believe, from the AHL. But So far, so good. Much better goaltending for the Colorado Avalanche tonight. 4-2, 20 minutes left to go. They're through two periods.
You know, after the first period of the VGK game in Dallas last night, where it was 3-2 VGK after one, the live number on the total was 9.5. And I went, 9.5? Like, I got to play the under here. I didn't play it. It ended up 4-3, okay? The live total right now in this Colorado-Winnipeg game, after two, is 8.5. Remember, that was after 9.5 was after one period.
Yeah.
This is 8.5 after two periods.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just saying, man, Winnipeg's going to score twice, I'm home. And I at least get to the nine with overtime. But boy, I would not be running to the window to play the under the way these defenses are playing.
No, I probably not either. Look, Georgiev, so far so good through two periods, but we know he got lit up a little bit in game number one, so that's a stay away for me.
And me as well. When we come back, Munaf Manji is going to join us to talk all things NBA second season. Come on back. We continue with VSiN Tonight.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's never too late to check out VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state. Always find that interesting. Betting tools, betting guides, and certainly each and every day getting you ready for your gambling day, including plenty of articles leading up to Thursday's NFL draft. So do your due diligence. Check it out now at VSiN.com. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross here as we continue VSiN Tonight. And Wes, it's been a lot of fun watching after kind of a I don't want to say a lame first day in the NBA playoffs, but things are certainly starting to heat up. And Munaf Manji is kind enough to join us again from the NBA Gambling Podcast. You can follow him on X at SportsNerd824. Great to have you back on. And we were kind of talking during the break. It did feel as easy as, man, just bet the home teams. But as you mentioned today, maybe Doc Rivers and the Bucks said not so fast, my friends.
Yeah, we finally see a home team go down. And of course, I guess to nobody's surprise, it is Doc Rivers. The Milwaukee Bucks drop game two against the Indiana Pacers. But I mean, Minnesota took care of business early. We may have a second road team that's getting the victory. I know the Dallas Mavericks are up by 4 points at the half right now. We'll see if they can hold on there. But yeah, I mean, if you were betting home teams, ATS, or, you know, doing those money line parlays, you are off to a great start. So hopefully the flip, the script flips a little bit here, but it's been a certainly interesting and fun start to the NBA playoffs this far, these guys.
Munaf, I'll get this one out of the way. Of course, the first game tomorrow is Boston and Miami. And look, you never want to say a team looks as good. They never look as good as they appear. They never look as bad as they appear, but this appears to be a sweep to me. What say you?
Yeah, I think five games maximum. I mean, maybe there's one game in Miami that they get hot from three-point land and they're able to beat the Boston Celtics, and maybe Boston's not focused for one game. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a sweep. And it's just a talent, you know, a huge difference from a talent perspective. I know the Miami Heat are without Jimmy Butler, their best player, but this Boston Celtics team has been one of the deepest and most talented teams in recent memory, next to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, right? They added Porzingis, Jrue Holiday at the beginning of the year to give them that depth. Derek White has been absolutely fantastic for this Boston Celtics team. Al Horford has his spots there as well. So this team right now, they know that last year they lost this Miami Heat team in the Eastern Conference Finals. And mind you, that was with Jimmy Butler. But I think this Boston team is just going to roll over this Miami Heat team and send them home, unfortunately. But yeah, you're right. It's either a sweep or, I think, at worst, a gentleman sweep in
these
two squads.
Yeah, this just avoid that shooting variance if Boston can do that. Boston, by the way, had 33s point attempts at halftime, 49 for the entire game. But when you shoot 45%, you're going to win all those games.
Yeah, and that number, remember, it was 14.5 in game one. It got dicey late. They did end up winning by 20. It's right there again at 14.5. The total has come down now to 202.5. And Munaf, we talked about this last week. What could Coach Spo do to try to junk this up without Jimmy Butler? If he's able to junk it up, maybe it lends itself towards an under, because you got to think, if it's more possessions, advantage Boston, correct?
Yeah, and I think that the pace has to slow down for this Miami Heat team. They're not going to win in a shootout against this Boston Celtics team, right? You guys mentioned the 3-point numbers. They're going to have to really close out and play a really good 3-point defense. But you can get into a up and down matchup with this Boston Celtics team because, again, like I mentioned, they have the talent. Miami's identity, that Heat culture, quote unquote, is hard-nosed defense. And Eric Spoelstra, I think, is one of the best head coaches in the NBA that makes those not only in-game adjustments, but game-to-game adjustments. So we'll see what he comes out with in game two here. But for this Miami Heat team, they're not going to win in the shootout. I like the under in the game. It's come down for a reason. We'll see something probably similar to what we saw in game one, where it's like a 114, a 194 point victory, something in that neighborhood. I just don't think this Miami Heat team can generate enough offense, especially if Tyler Hero is going to have another bad shooting night. You have Bam, but then outside of that, there's not really a consistent guy outside of those two guys that can really step up for this Miami Heat team. So if Miami does win miraculously, it's probably going to be a very, very low scoring game getting under this total.
Munaf, let's look at the second game. A low scoring game on Sunday, but probably one of the more exciting games that we've seen in the playoffs so far, and that's the Pelicans and the Thunder. We know no Zion, but it doesn't feel to me, and I never want to jump to conclusions after game one, it doesn't feel like the Pelicans are necessarily overwhelmed here. Great defense by Cason Wallace, though, on that final play, really won the Thunder the game. But 7.5 here, total down to 210.5. The game was in the 90s in the first game. Do you think the Pelicans can hang here and even maybe steal one on the road and make this a series that goes the duration?
I like Thunder in this spot here. I think you saw in game one, especially early on, that you could tell that for this Thunder, they're one of the youngest teams, if not the youngest team. If you take Gordon Hayward out of this equation, maybe they do end up being one of the younger teams, that you could tell it was their first playoff game and they had a little bit of jitters. And when at half, it was tied, 43-43. And OKC, after that, you know, they got into the groove of the game. They got those jitters out and they came out and played well in that third quarter. I know late in that fourth quarter, it got a little bit dicey for the OKC Thunder. They were on a bit of a scoring drought there. But I think it's going to be one of those 90s type of final scores in this series as well, because you mentioned Pelicans played great defense. It's also something similar to the Miami Heat, where Brandon Ingram is a guy that I can't trust. CJ McCollum, another guy that he's a high variance guy, rather. If he's going to have a great game, and then one game you can go 2 of 17 from the floor. Where for the Thunder, SGA has been incredible all season long. I mean, he's an MVP finalist for a reason. You talk about Jalen Williams, Chet as well. Lou Dort, who's improved his jump shot as well, has been absolutely fantastic. I think the key for the Pelicans and also the Thunder, more importance for the Thunder, is that if they're able to rebound the basketball and keep the Pelicans from getting those offensive rebounds, because in game one, the Pelicans had a plus 10 offensive rebounding advantage over the New Orleans, against OKC Thunder. And Thunder really don't have that traditional big man, right? I think that's something they're going to have to address in the offseason. But if they're able to limit those second chance opportunities for the New Orleans Pelicans, I think that way, that's the way they can create that separation against this New Orleans Pelicans team. So I think that's something I want to be looking out for in game two here. So I think they're able to, you know, really contain those second chance opportunities. I think the Thunder can pull away in this game. I like the Thunder early. I think that if you want to take them in the first quarter, get in and get out with your money, or in the first half, I think they come out and play well behind the crowd here in OKC.
Well, if I want to ask about the result of one game tonight that did surprise me a little bit, and that's kind of the Suns wilting in the second half against Minnesota. Wes and I talked a little bit about it at the top of the show. I kind of felt like Rudy Gobert's on a punchline, defensive player of the year, and yet that defense has really stymied Phoenix in the first two games, at least in Minnesota. Now they go back to the Valley of the Sun, and the Suns are now plus 330 to win this series, although Minnesota, if we're being objective, has just held serve in the first two. Is this done? Or is Phoenix going to be able to think to change something offensively to figure out Minnesota's defense and make this a real series?
Yeah, I think they really have to figure out offensively for this Phoenix Suns team. All three of their star players, Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, all went under their points prop tonight in game two. Now you go back to game three on your home floor. I think that the only way to improve, obviously, for how bad Devin Booker and Bradley Beal have been is to shoot better at home. And I talk a lot about, right, the supporting cast. Usually those players rise and play better at home. I know Grayson Allen left with an ankle injury, I believe, did not return, but they need something out of somebody else, whether it's Royce O'Neal, whether it's Eric Gordon. I know that's asking a lot, But if they're able to contribute, not a whole heck of a lot of points, if it's like, you know, in the realm of 12 to 15 points and take some of that pressure off of Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, that's only going to bode well for them. But I do expect Devin Booker to bounce back. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, I think that they are able to make this series. I think they win game three on their home floor. I would take the or would lay the points with the Phoenix Suns. I'm sure there'll be a three and a half point favorite at home with the Phoenix Suns. I do think this series could go at least six games, if not seven games.
Manaf, got about a minute left here. Three games on Thursday, and teams returning home down 0-2. Orlando against Cleveland, Philly against New York, the Lakers against the Nuggets. How many of those home teams do you think get on the board on Thursday?
I think at least two. I think Philly has a great game being back at home. They were leading in the at the half, and again, that game too got away from them. I know that controversy of the foul call on against Josh Hart on Tyrese Maxey, but it is what it is at this point. But I think having 2 days off in between games two and three, for especially Joel Embiid dealing with that knee injury, and also Tyrese Maxey as well, that gives them 2 days off, and they've been right there in these games. I think they pull it off at home. I like them early in the first quarter. You could get that minus 1.5 right now. I like them full game as well. And dare I say, I think the Lakers, I think they can break the losing streak. 10 games in a row. This team just has to find a way to keep it together in the second half. They had a 20-point lead, guys, in that game too, and they just let it get away. You do get Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt back. I don't think that makes a whole heck of a lot of difference, but I think Jared Vanderbilt defensively will. But I do expect the role players to rise, Austin Reeves, D'Lo, to give support to AD and LeBron. So I think the Lakers do get on the board here, shockingly.
If the Lakers can ever get a call, Manaf. I mean, it's just tough for them to get. I appreciate you joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give them a follow on X at SportsNerd824. Come on back. Much more to get to here on VSiN Tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do not miss out on any of the NBA action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA all the way through the finals. DraftKings Sportsbook has got you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSiN. New customers can bet just $5. Get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours. The Denver Nuggets would like to keep the crown for another season in the NBA. Some suitors out there could be the Dallas Mavericks or the LA Clippers. Right now, 7+ to go in the third quarter. Mavs up by 6. Kawhi has returned. 55-48. Live total, 189.5. I'm not saying it's like Knicks Heat 90s level,
Mm-hmm.
We're getting like the Cavaliers in Orlando. That series is ugly. We're getting some low totals, and I get it. It's the second season. Defense becomes a premium. Unders seem like they're hitting like hotcakes. I know it went over today in Milwaukee between the Bucks and the Pacers, but my goodness, Wes, we are really seeing an emphasis on every possession matters. And I kind of said this on X the other day. Like, I am not, as a bettor, sure, but as a fan, the regular season is almost disinterested. I'm disinterested.
And unless you're a hardcore fan or a bettor, you know, it is very hard. And that's why, you know, I do mostly player props. I'll do some sides and totals. But it is hard to stay engaged, I think, in the regular season when you have, you know, when it feels like your regular season doesn't matter, when everything is discussed, like everything's about the playoffs.
And they say it openly. The players say it openly.
Yes.
And then you see this product and you go, man, you crave this.
Right.
Like, this is fun to watch. Everybody D'ing up. And I know maybe it's not exactly what the league wants, because I think they want more. Every league wants more scoring.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that. And we're going to talk to Chuck Esposito a lot about the NFL draft in the next segment. But I'm always curious. Yes, the books are going to start to adjust for playoff intensity in the NBA, right? But how the public doesn't want to bet unders. So is this fine sweet spot for the books where they can still set it a little bit, maybe too high, and the general public's still going to come in on the unders?
Yeah, look, eventually you think that water finds its level, even though the unders have really been, especially in the play-in and in the first round.
Oh,
now,
man,
it's not as pronounced, actually, as you get later. You would think that it would be, but it really hasn't been. But tonight, yeah, you mentioned it, 55-48 now, 7:52 left to go in the third. Clippers 36% from the floor tonight, 3 of 16 from the three. Mavs a little better, 43.5%, 35% from the three. But yeah, you're getting some tough shooting in these playoffs. You're getting better defense as well. But you know, early on too in these playoffs, teams are gonna, you know, try to figure out what their playoff rotation is gonna be, because you got the regular season rotation, and then you know, a lot of times, and you might shorten it a little bit. You know, you might really have to, but you know, with some of these guys, you know, you get guys in garbage time, but a lot of times you're shortening it to maybe 8 or 9 guys. Like in college, it's like 6,
right?
Or maybe 7, but obviously more guys with the ability in the NBA. But you're not going to necessarily see an 11-12 man rotation for a lot of these teams.
You know, I'm looking at this Clippers inbox right now. Kawhi has already played, again, about 7-plus minutes to go here in the third quarter. He's already played 21 minutes. That's significant, right? Harden's played 23, and Paul George played 22. So he's right there. Not like he feels like he's on a minutes restriction. 4 of 9, has not hit a 3 in 2 attempts. Does have an offensive rebound, 3 total, 2 assists, 4 steals. So that's Kawhi being Kawhi, and 8 points. So it's not like, boy, Kawhi is really struggling in his return. It kind of looks like he's doing par for the course like everybody else is.
Yeah, this is a defensive game right now. Look, Luka's already played 26.
Right.
Like, Luka hardly ever comes off the floor, though, it doesn't seem like. He's probably going to play 40 minutes in every playoff game here. Kyrie already with 24. Luka already with 20, by the way. Not the best shooting night, but that guy can fill up a stat sheet like nobody else in the league, so.
And we've already talked a little bit about the games tomorrow with Miami and Boston, New Orleans and OKC. That's the two games in the docket tomorrow. The totals are starting to be adjusted, that is for sure. Because remember, in game one of Miami and Boston, I think the total closed 208.5, and the final was 114.94. So, I mean, it's right there. Now it comes down to 202.5.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you kind of do that, those pathways to success, Boston, they're fine playing it over, because that means more possessions. That means they're getting up and down. They're shooting their threes. They're scoring at will. They'd love that style. If the game goes over, feels like there's very little chance for a Miami victory. If you lean towards an under or you know, a dramatic under, like in the 180s, mm-hmm. That would, you would think, theoretically give Miami a fighter's chance.
Well,
right?
And Miami, look, Spo is probably just going to have to go to the zone and hope that the Celtics get bad shooting variants,
right?
Like I was talking about in the last segment, that they just don't shoot well, because that's what the Celtics are looking to do. They're looking to, you know, shoot threes from all over the court, basically. And, you know, they have guys that can score inside, like Porzingis, but Porzingis is not like a total post. Like, he could score inside, but he's a guy who can step out and shoot, Horford, we know most of his shots are threes and not necessarily, you know, traditional post up or anything like that. They don't run that at all. So I don't know what I'm doing with this. This might be a prop series, if that, just to kind of see if you can exploit any matchups. But gosh, man, I know that's a lot of points here, but what I saw out of Miami, they were down. I know they made it kind of close to the number late when you're laying that kind of a number, but this was like 90-59 at one point.
It felt like Boston was always the right side.
Yeah.
Until garbage time, and sometimes you can get screwed in garbage time.
Yeah, and I felt that this Miami team was down a little bit from last year anyway, even with Jimmy.
And by the way, if you're handicapping that we're going to win it in garbage time, that's probably not the right side.
Then you probably don't want to be betting it anyway. You don't want to be betting, oh, I'm going to take those points and hope for a backdoor.
I know it'll be down 20 and then they'll make a late run.
You definitely don't want to do that.
So the other game tomorrow night is the Pelicans and the Thunder. Talked a little bit about it. It did feel like OKC had some jitters in game one, right? And we know the Thunder, the Pelicans without Zion, it showed in the lack of offensive juice that they had. So now with those jitters out of the way, I think this is what we talked about in the last segment with Manav Manji, and I think Manav's looking at it like they got that ring rust out of there, if you will, from a fighter's term. And now it should be all systems go. We got that first game underneath our belt. Even at our C-plus game, we still won game one. Do you think it's going to be much tougher sledding than the Pelicans had, at least in that first half?
Well, I'm kind of like looking at this, and I'm looking a little bit at the over here, actually. It has been adjusted downwards. Pelicans, great defensive game plan in game one, and probably could have won had they made a few wide open threes, had every opportunity, but they turn it over, and Oklahoma City, Cason Wallace got the stop late in the game. But one of the things I did was encouraged by seeing with New Orleans in game one is JV, Jonas Valanciunas. Mm-hmm. He had 20 rebounds in 29 minutes of play.
Wow.
Pelicans, Oklahoma City can be had at the rim. And that's what I think. Look, yeah, you got to get JV, I think, going early and get him with some really good usage. But they didn't make their shots, the Pelicans. So I think they need to stick with what they do. Oklahoma City, by the way, shot poorly as well. They were 32% from the three, 49% effective field goal percentage. Pelicans, though, they want to chase them off the three-point line and make you have tough contested twos. And that's what they were able to do. But I think you're going to get positive regression, at least from a shooting perspective here. So I haven't decided what I'm going to do at the side yet, but do lean a little bit over 210.5 here. I think you get a rebound from that poor shooting. And I think Oklahoma City did have some jitters early. Now, the Pelicans were right there with them, though. And I actually think the Pelicans, I don't want to say they're going to win the series because I don't believe that to be the case, but I don't think it's as far-fetched as maybe people would think, despite the fact that they have no Zion. I just think Oklahoma City, look, they're going to show their youth at times, and New Orleans can kind of grind it out. They can't match the offense for offense without Zion, but New Orleans did show a lot of fight. That game, by the way, on Sunday had 20 lead changes. That had more lead changes than any of the other seven game ones combined, which only had 19. This was absolutely back and forth. It was a pretty fun game. I thought it was one of the better games of the weekend. So I think you get better shooting, better offense tomorrow with these two.
So maybe lean towards that over 210.5 there in that game. And by the way, very quick, just quick look at the Thursday. Double dog dare. We've got a total under 200 to begin. 198.5 for game three between Orlando and Cleveland on the road back in Orlando. How in the world could you back it over?
I can't. Yeah. Because look, we talked about it last week in the preview, even though that we thought, I think Orlando would be a little more competitive, certainly in the first two games. They have trouble scoring. They're the worst three-point shooting team in the league. And Cleveland is very good defensively. Mm-hmm. Both these teams are really good defensively. So, yeah, I know that that's hanging out there like low-hanging fruit at 198.5, but no thank you for me.
Trying to double dog dare you and taking that over, and
no,
we are not
biting. I'm going to choose truth instead of dare there.
When we come back to begin hour number two, Chuck Esposito is going to join us from Red Rock Sportsbook. Talk about the other side of the book. For the NFL draft, which is coming up in just about 48 hours. Come on back. We continue VSiN Tonight in a moment.
At
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.